Dear congregation, what a beautiful story that is that we were able to read from Scripture this morning about the Rechabites. I think that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, especially because it speaks of the devotion and the love that the Rechabites had for their father, Jonadab, who, recall, congregation, gave them a command not to avoid anything particularly sinful, right? The command that Jonadab gave his children not to drink alcoholic drinks, not to build houses. Those things are not sinful in themselves. It's not like he told them, you know, don't lie, don't cheat, and don't steal, right? No, he told them not to drink wine, not to build houses, things that are in and of themselves not sinful at all. And yet, simply because of the respect and the love, the devotion that they had for their parent, they honored that wish. And that's what they did. In fact, the only reason that they were in Jerusalem in the first place was because Nebuchadnezzar had attacked and they had fled for safety to the city of Jerusalem. Otherwise, they would still be living as wanderers, right? With no houses and not drinking alcoholic drinks. So that's what they did, and that's a beautiful example, beautiful illustration of the kind of respect for parents that we hope to consider this morning. Now, before I jump right into the fifth commandment, congregation, it's necessary that we understand the law of God in its context and how it was given to the children of Israel. Now, to understand that, we need to understand that the law was given to a people who had already been redeemed, who had already been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. If you turn to Exodus and chapter 19, in one sense, Exodus 19 is almost as important as Exodus 20 for putting the law in its proper context. But in Exodus chapter 19, you can read that the children of Israel have come to Mount Sinai. In verse 3, Moses goes up into the mountain, and God says to them in verse 4. So Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Now that in the first place, congregation, that God had redeemed his people. He had set them free from the bondage of Egypt. Now we have the law come in, right? Verse 5, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So that's the order that we must observe, congregation, always when we consider the law of God. That the law of God comes to a redeemed people. It comes to a saved people. It does not come to an unbelieving, unsaved people, as if it were some kind of covenant of works by which you can work yourself into God's favor. We know that that's what we call legalism. And that is an error, a terrible error, an error that will land you in hell if you accept it and believe it. No, the law comes to a people who are being born on eagle's wings, the eagle's wings of God's salvation. So the law is preceded by redemption. So that I want to make clear, congregation, and that is a point that I cannot emphasize enough, that if we leave this building and think somehow that apart from the saving grace of God and apart from being joined to Christ by a true faith, now I have to give my diligent attention to the law of God, and especially tonight, this morning, the fifth commandment, then you really miss the whole point. You really miss at least the point of this introduction, that the law of God comes to a redeemed, a saved people, a people who are being born on the eagle's wings of God's grace and mercy. Well, with that firmly in our minds, and I trust that that's firmly in our minds, let's turn then to the fifth commandment. And I can warn you from the start that this sermon, just by its very subject matter, looking at such a small portion of Scripture, that I'll have to use many other examples, a lot of flipping through the Bible this morning, but to try to understand the fifth commandment as it's worked out for us throughout the pages of Scripture will require us to turn to many different verses. But at any rate, let's begin with the commandment itself, because in Exodus 20 and verse 12, we've read, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that," or "in order that, thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, congregation, we can see in this verse a command and a promise. A command and a promise. The command is honor, and the promise is in order that thy days may be long. So we have a command and a promise. So let's look first then at this command, and let's try to zero in on this word command. And you know, congregation, that when we come to a word in Scripture and we want to understand it better, we want to dig down into it and understand really what it means and what the significance of it is, then there's no better place to go than the Bible itself, to turn to the other pages, the other verses in Scripture where this word is used, and to analyze how it is used in other places to try to shed light on how it's used in this place. So that's what we hope to do today. And probably the younger set amongst us know that via technology today, this is very easy, right? On a phone, you can click very easily and see the different places throughout the Bible where a given word is used. It's a very handy and useful tool to understand what the Holy Spirit would have us to understand by these words in Scripture. But now, to understand this word honor, I'd like to turn back just a few chapters to Exodus 14. To Exodus 14. And I'll start with verse 4. Verse 4, Exodus 14 and verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored. There it is. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So there you have the word honored. You have all the gods of the Egyptian religion. But now God says, right, the God of Jehovah, the God of Israel, I will be honored. In other words, the proper weight and importance will be placed upon me, and people will see that I am the true God. I am the only God, and I will be honored. I will give that priority. Now, if you stay in the same chapter and you drop down to verse 17, you see similar words. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. So God will receive from Pharaoh the proper respect and the weight. Actually, that word in Hebrew there has very much the meaning of weight and a prestige that way, that understand the importance. So God will be honored. And again, in the same chapter, verse 18, so for the very next verse, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh. So there you see again, God will get the honor that is due his name. Now in Isaiah 58, there's also a usage of this word that I think is helpful for us in the context of speaking about the Sabbath. In Isaiah 58, God is commanding the Israelites to call the Sabbath day a delight. And in verse 13, he says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable. And there you see it again. Honorable or weighty. So there's 7 days in the week, but of the 7 days in the week, here is the Sabbath day. This is the important day. And to be honored means to give that day the importance, the weight that it deserves. Right? We saw that before in Egypt with the gods of Egypt, but God is the only God. He's the one that deserves to be honored. He's the one that has that weight, you might say. And now again, of the 7 days of the week, the Sabbath in the Jewish dispensation anyways, was the important day, was the day of weight. So when we turn back to Exodus 20 then, and we're told to honor your father and your mother, that means there may be many people in your life, there may be many relationships in your life, but in a special way, we're to understand the weight of our parents, as it were, the importance that they hold in our lives and in society. And we are, by our actions then, to own that and to reflect that in the way we speak to them, in the way we think about them, and in the way we act towards them. So it's not merely then to say nice things or to be respectful, but it's to give them their proper weight and their proper priority in our life. Notice, congregation, that the commandment, sometimes it's interesting to note what is not said here, right? It does not say, obey your father and your mother, that it may go well with you in the land. It says, honor. And I believe, congregation, that the significance of that is that really this commandment is given to adult children. Now, of course, it has application for young children as well, minor children. But in a real sense, this commandment is given to adult children. okay, to honor their parents. So the word honor there, I believe, is significant. It doesn't just say obey or submit, which is what the Bible elsewhere says in Ephesians chapter 6, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We hope to say more about that shortly. But at any rate, you have the word honor. And in Leviticus 19, verse 3, you have a different word, but it makes the same point, I believe, as the word honor. In Leviticus 19, verse 3, it says, you shall fear every man, his mother, and his father. So the word used there is fear. And you know that in the Old Testament religion, fear is that reverence that undergirds all our relationship to God and all of our religion. So fear then too, a very broad word, and very much like the word honor. So fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God, according to Leviticus 19 and verse 3. So I would say then, congregation, that we should understand this word honor as to recognize the weight and the importance of our parents, and to think about this especially as adult children towards our parents. And of course, this will have importance for young children as well. So that word honor is a significant one. But then we come to your father and your mother. So we're still in the command part of this verse, right? Honor. But then we're commanded to honor our father and our mother. Now, this too has significance, because our father and our mother are our parents, of course. And you know that in the history of the interpretation of this commandment, people have expanded it to refer to all authorities. We just heard that from the Heidelberg Catechism. But this morning, I would like to specifically focus then on our parents. And it's interesting then, when we think about father and mother to us, congregation, the unique relationship that they hold in our lives, it's a relationship that is in some sense parallel with our relationship to God himself. Would you turn to Mark chapter 7? I want to show you this in Mark chapter 7, where we have this very interesting account where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had this little trick that they would perform to keep the money flowing into the temple. And Jesus puts his finger upon it. You'll notice how in Mark 7 and verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now, how would that happen, congregation, that the Israelites would reject or disobey a commandment of God in order to obey their own traditions? How did that happen? Well, Jesus gives us an example of that, of how the Israelites would disobey the fifth commandment. So if you go to verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But now here's the trick, verse 11. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is, it is a gift. That is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. So what would happen, congregation, is adult children would have parents who were in need. And they needed to support those parents. They needed to have money to provide for those parents. But then the trick is, they would say, well, this money is korban. It is a gift. It's dedicated to God. In our language, we might say, I'm putting this in the collection plate. So I'm sorry, Mom. My obligation to obey God comes before my obligation to obey you, so I have to give this money to the Lord. It's been dedicated to God. I can't just use it to support you. But the wickedness of that is, congregation, is that God said, honor your father and your mother. And so the tradition of, again, I'll just use our tradition, right, of putting money in the collection plate, right, in order to obey that tradition, okay, they had to disobey the fifth commandment and dishonor their father and their mother by failing to provide for them and to care for them in their age and in their weakness. And the trick they would do is say, well, this is korban. It's dedicated to God. And by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, in other words, even though I could help you with this money, right, I can't because he shall be free. In other words, he's free of any obligation to help his parents with that money because, after all, it's dedicated to God. Now, isn't that interesting, congregation, how Jesus rebukes that severely, right? And verse 12, it goes on and says, and ye suffer him no more to do aught or to do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So Jesus has nothing but extremely harsh words for the Pharisees, who tried to go around, to sidestep their obligation to honor their father and their mother by giving their money to the temple. Well, congregation, there you see then, in one sense, how when we come to this command to honor your father and your mother, that God and Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7 puts that relationship, right, in a very much parallel with our relationship to God. And he says, don't think that you can claim devotion to God if you don't honor your parents. And in this case, right, Jesus would even say, now take that money. Don't give it to the service of the Lord. Give it to your parents, because you have an obligation to care and provide for them. And don't try to play these tricks and these games where you sidestep the commandment. You follow your traditions, but you don't obey the commandment of God. So you see, congregation, that father and mother here and in the teaching of Scripture hold a very high place, right? And Jesus does not allow people to be committed to God even as they neglect their parents. Those two things do not go together. So that's the command then. That's the command of this commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Then let's move on to the promise. So the promise, in order that it may go well with you, in order that you may live long, in order that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now we know, congregation, that throughout the Ten Commandments, there are specific parts of the commandment that belong specifically to the nation of Israel. Right? And this is one of those things, right? This meant something specific for the nation of Israel. God had conditioned life in the land of Canaan upon their obedience to his law. Right? God had said that if you keep my commandments and if you keep my covenant, then you will stay in the land. And we know that when Israel failed to do that, they were removed from the land. In fact, this very commandment in Ezekiel chapter 22 is highlighted as one of the reasons why Israel went into exile. Let me read that to you. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 7. Ezekiel 22 and verse 7. So, speaking here, God speaking through Ezekiel, in thee have they set light by father and mother. Now, do you see that word, by the way, just to go back to what I said previously about honor your father and your mother, right? Here it says they have set light. They set their parents lightly. They didn't give them the weight that they deserved. But anyways, in thee have they set light by father and the mother and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. And then in verse 15, and I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. So violation of the fifth commandment is a specific reason then why Israel was thrown out of the land of Canaan, because they did not keep the commandments of God. Well, that's what it means to the nation of Israel. But what then can it mean for us? What then can it mean for us when we try to understand it for ourselves? And I hope to say more about this, but congregation, you know that in the Old Testament, the promise of the land of Canaan, right, is taken over in the New Testament as a promise of the new Jerusalem, of the heavenly Canaan, right, of a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, right? And certainly that has reference then to, right, the end time earth, right, the new heaven and the new earth that God will give to his people. So the Old Testament saints, right, they didn't necessarily have such a clear revelation of the idea of heaven and hell, right? They certainly had hints and glimpses of it, but nothing clear like we have today for sure. And so when God had promised them that your days will be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that in a sense has even a spiritual meaning itself. That in the land where you go and where I'm pushing out the enemies, there you will settle, there you will dwell. I will place my temple in the midst of that land. And there will be communion between you and me for many days. as long as you keep my covenant and observe my commandments." So already in the Old Testament, there's that spiritual meaning mixed through the idea that they would own and possess this physical land. But in the New Testament, it becomes exclusively spiritual, doesn't it? That God will give to his people a land, a new earth, a new heaven. Well, that's the promise that's given us here in the fifth commandment. So the command and the promise. I think we can understand that well enough. And now let me move then, congregation, to help us to make application of this commandment to our own hearts and to our own lives. In the first place, I would like to think about honoring this commandment as children. And so, children, I hope that you'll give your special attention to this part of the sermon, because now this is specifically addressing you. And when I think about children, and I mean now children who are yet under the care of their parents, the key word that I think that we can use to help understand this, and you can try to remember this now, is obedience. Obedience. How can children observe the fifth commandment? Well, honoring your parents, specifically for children, obedience. And I would like to turn in this regard to the passage that we've already mentioned, Ephesians chapter 6. Because here Paul speaks specifically to children, and he says already in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents." So there's that key word, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And here we have, congregation, and dear children, two reasons why you should obey your parents. And the first is in the Lord, and the second, for this is right. Children, obey your parents. And in the first place, the first reason given, in the Lord. Now, what does that expression mean? It's so small. We probably read right over it. But in the Lord, what does that mean? Well, congregation, again, I want to turn to different places in the scriptures where this phrase is used to help us to try to understand it. And this time I want to stick to the book of Ephesians, since that's the book we're in. So Ephesians 2 and verse 21. Where here Paul is talking about the church, he's talking about the apostles and the prophets being the foundation, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And then in verse 21, in whom, so I'm in Ephesians 2 and verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. What does that mean, congregation? That means that in that building, every stone in that building is anchored and built in the Lord. In other words, in Christ. By the way, when you read the word Lord in the epistles, in the letters of Paul, it almost always refers to Jesus. So you very well could read this in Christ. In Jesus. That whole building is framed and fitted together in Christ. And that refers then, congregation, to that glorious union with Christ that we have by faith in him. And so there's that expression, in the Lord, referring to that union with Christ. And indeed, we find that it's used that way pretty much all the time in this epistle. If you go to chapter 5, if you look at chapter 5 and verse 8, chapter 5 of Ephesians and verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." So when a person was apart from Christ, he was in darkness. But when by the grace of God he was given faith to believe in the Savior, he was in the Lord and he came into the light. Now ye are light in the Lord. And when we come to chapter 6 and verse 10, so this is just a few verses down from where we were previously. Chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." In the Lord. Be strong. How? Only in this way, as you are united to Christ by a true faith. We only can find strength as we are in Christ. And then in verse 21, chapter 6 and verse 21, the last one, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord." And there's that phrase again, in the Lord, in Christ. Tychicus is not just a brother, he's not just a friend, he's not just a helper, but he is a Christian. He is a brother in Christ. So there you have that expression, congregation. And then to return to Ephesians 6 and verse 1, we see then that children, obey your parent in the Lord. That means as you are united and joined to Jesus Christ by a true faith. And congregation, I wonder now if your mind goes back to how I started the sermon, right? That God gives the law to a redeemed, a saved people. We never can believe, congregation, in the light of Scripture, and Paul certainly has no idea of ever bringing the obligations of God's law upon a person who is unsaved and unconverted and separated from Jesus Christ. That is not possible. Such a person can try to obey the law of God, but he never can succeed, right? He'll finally be brought to an end of his own working if it's the work of God in his life. And so now notice, congregation, that this command, this is even given then as a reason to children. And so, congregation, in a way, we have to make our children to understand this truth as well, that even their obedience cannot be honoring to God in any way unless they too are in the Lord. And now Paul here will even say, children, obey your parents because you are in the Lord. Because Paul can never imagine that he would try to get children to obey the commandments if they were not Christians themselves. Now, I know, congregation, that this is probably not the way that you or I were originally taught these things and to think about these things. But again, this is the Scripture, and this is how Paul thinks of these things, that obedience that is going to be honoring to God can only come, whether an adult or a child, it can only come as we are joined to Christ by a true faith. All other obedience apart from Christ is a simple legalism. It is a simple trying to earn God's favor without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And so, children, to address you directly then, you must know, children, just how important it is that you be a believer and one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. That all your efforts, even to obey your mother and your father, fail if you are not a real, genuine Christian by the work of the Spirit of God in your life. That is something that you have to think about. That is something, children, that you should take to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I need to be a Christian. I need to have the Spirit of God within my soul. I need to be joined to Jesus Christ so that His power can flow into me. Because I know that by myself, I can never obey you. I can never obey my parents in a way that's honoring to God or in a way that's pleasing to Him. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin in God's eyes. So, children, I press that upon you, and actually the Apostle Paul presses that upon you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And congregation, in light of the fifth commandment, we're talking about honoring your father and your mother. You know that the best way that you can honor your father and your mother is to put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else, believe me this morning, dear friends, dear children, nothing else pleases your parents more than to know that their children are walking with God in a life of faith and holiness. I hope, dear children, that tonight when you come to your bed and when you say your prayer, that you will lay this before the Lord and that you will say, Lord, I need to be a Christian. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God will hear that prayer, dear children. He says, seek me first, right? Seek the Lord. Seek the kingdom of God. All those who call upon Him, He shall hear, and all those who come to Him shall certainly be saved. So, dear children, I press that upon you. But the apostle gives us another reason here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1. And the other reason here is, for this is right. And so, really, these two things belong together. Right? To obey your parents in the Lord, right? In the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is right. In other words, the other way is wrong. To obey your parents in any other way is wrong. It does not please God. It does not honor Him. It is not right. The only way to be honorable to God is to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So really those two belong together. This is the most God-honoring way to live, in respect and honor to your parents. Well, let me then move, dear friends, to how young people can honor their parents. We've spoken about how children honor their parents, and the key word I think there was obedience. But now as young people, how can we honor our parents? So now I speak to young people. Now, in a sense, you're still obligated to obey your parents, especially if you're living under their roof. I understand that, but things have changed, haven't they? Young people have come into their own minds and their own reason. They're able to think. They're able to make decisions. And so the key word I want to give to young people this morning in terms of honoring your parents is to listen. To listen. And again, I want to turn to different passages, but in Proverbs is full of instruction like this, but already in Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, okay, speaking, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days, right? That's the promise that we already talked about. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. All right, that's really just a repetition of the fifth commandment. But then in the next chapter, chapter 4, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom. And that word wisdom kind of pulls me up short here, congregation. And perhaps the young people are going to smile a bit at this because they know I've said this to them at some of our youth group meetings. But I'll say it here in the church generally. Young people, it's so important for you to grasp this principle in your life. You are not wise. That's such a critical thing to grasp as a young person. You are not wise. And I do not mean that as any insult. You understand that, right? I don't mean that in an insulting, denigrating way. I'm sure you're very intelligent. The young people I know in this church are remarkably intelligent. But there's a difference, isn't there, between intelligence and wisdom. And if Solomon, the wisest man, is going to tell young people, my son, my children, get wisdom, then the assumption there is you are not wise. And again, I don't say this in a way, you know, standing over you with my finger waving in your face. I just say this as a person who's traveled that road myself, right? And the adults will say the same thing, that when you are that age, you don't have the faculty or the skill yet of taking the knowledge that we have of life around us and of applying that in a way that is wise. And so that is so critical for your own happiness in this world, that you understand and grasp that idea that you are not wise. And that's why the key word I'm giving you this morning is listen. Okay? You might even disagree with your parents, but listen. Listen. Right now, I'm going to ask you to listen to this because I just read this in my home from 1 Kings chapter 2. Sorry, Judges 14, verse 3. Judges 14, verse 3. So this is the story of Samson. Then his father and his mother... Oh, Samson has found a woman amongst the Philistines who he wants to marry. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. And actually, in the Hebrew there, I believe it says, for she is pleasing in my eyes. Well, congregation, your eyes are not wise. And this is why it's so important for you to listen and to honor your parents in that way. And I hardly know how to press this upon you, because I know this is often greatly resisted by young people who are oftentimes very enamored with their own wisdom and with their own intelligence. So let me just ask you a few questions. And I'm not by these questions implying that you're being disrespectful to your parents. I just want you to think about this question. I want you to think seriously about this question. So here's the first question. Would you want your children, should God bless you with such someday, would you want your children to act towards you in the same way that you are now acting towards your parents? All right? I want you to think. I want you to pray over that question. I'm going to read it again. Please listen. Would you want your children to act towards you in the same way that you are now acting towards your parents? And be honest. Be honest with yourself. God knows the answer already. But be honest with yourselves. Another question that I want you to think about. Do you think you will be happier in 5 years? Think about yourself 5 years from now, should God spare you. Do you think you will be happier in 5 years if you listen to your parents or if you disregard them? And again, be honest. Be honest. Were Hophni and Phinehas happier because they disregarded Eli's counsel? Was Joseph happier? To use a good example, was Joseph happier because he followed the advice of his father? And there's many other examples in Scripture. I really ask you, young people, to confront those questions and to think if perhaps you couldn't honor your parents better by listening to them. I hasten on then to how do we honor our parents as adults. But before we do that, why don't we sing from the Psalter, and let's sing number 360, the psalm we love to sing when we think about family. Bless the man who fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By thy toil thou shalt be prospered, and be happy all thy days. So Psalter number 360, all the verses. Thank you. congregation, how can we honor our parents as adults? And here too, I tried to think of a key word, and I didn't succeed. So I just will fall back on the word honor, since that's in the law there already. How can adults honor their parents? And I'm just going to say honor. Leviticus 19, verse 32. Leviticus 19, verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Well, our parents grow old, don't they? And they grow weak. And now God commands us to rise up in their presence. I don't think that means literally every time to rise up in their presence, but certainly to give them that weight and that honor that they're due. You remember Solomon? When his mother Bathsheba came in, what did he do? He took a throne and he put it where? On his right hand, right? The position of honor, the position even of authority in those days. Solomon honored his mother. And my friends, what did the Lord Jesus Christ himself do while bearing the weight of the sins of mankind upon his shoulders, making atonement? He saw his mother at the foot of the cross, and he provided for her. He provided for her earthly needs by connecting her with the disciple John. What a wonderful example, congregation, of honoring parents as adult children. And congregation, it's so important at this stage of our life that we recognize the weakness and the limitations of our parents, especially when they grow old in body and especially in mind. Parents will make comments that are inappropriate for any other person except for someone who has the condition that they have. Isn't that maybe what's behind this proverb? Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23:22. And there is that tendency, isn't there, especially in our culture where we value strength and vitality, that when a person becomes old and infirm, we begin to despise them or to think less about them. And so here, congregation, we're commanded to honor our parents. I remember once I was at a wedding and a mother was leading her elderly mother, a 90-plus-year-old woman, out, and they came to the edge of the sidewalk there where it meets the parking lot, and there was maybe a drop-off of about that much, maybe 2 inches, right? And of course, everybody didn't even think twice about just walking off it, right? But there that 90-year-old woman stopped. That just looked like a mountain to her. How could she get over that, you know, when she stopped? And the daughter became quite irritated. But I'll leave that alone. But anyways, to that old mother, that little curb there looked like such an obstacle. And there's so many other examples of congregation. That's the time not to be irritated, not to judge them with the same measure that we would judge a 25-year-old person, but to recognize the obstacle that presents to them and all the other obstacles they face as they face the dying of their own spouse, the moving out of their own home, their own failing, their own declining congregation. Then it's so necessary that we honor them by understanding and respecting this and doing all we can to embrace our parents in the arms of love, even if they're hurling insults at us, which sometimes happens, right? That's how it is in old age when they lose their social skills in that sense. But still, we are called upon to honor our parents. And another thing, congregation, before I leave that point, I think that it is always wrong. I think it is always wrong for children or for parents to cut each other off completely, right? You hear that happening in today's world where children will say, I'll have nothing to do with my parents again. Now, I hope that's not anywhere in our church. I don't think it is. But I know when I preached this at the old age home, I saw people in tears. My granddaughter will not speak to me. I haven't seen my son in 40 years. And so on it would go. Congregation, that is a wickedness that is not even excused if our parents are dishonorable to us. That is a clear violation, in my opinion, of the fifth commandment. There are maybe some very small reasons, there are some reasons, very few, that would cause us to do that. You know, you can think about abusive situations and things like that. But by and large, it is wrong. It is wrong. And if you ever feel yourself tempted in that way to cut off your parents completely, reject that notion. Proverbs 20:20, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. There, that's what God thinks of that. So I have to warn against that. I believe that is a sin against the fifth commandment. And don't forget congregation too. And this I say that many of you will think with sorrow, but there comes a time when the fifth commandment is no longer obeyable, right? There comes a time when our parents leave this life and we can't give them that honor that we wish we could because they're not with us anymore. So that's another reason, another motivating thing, congregation, to think about as you think about your parents and honoring them, is that there comes a time when you will no longer be able to do that. Let that spur us on to honor our father and our mother. Well, congregation, where does this leave us as we bring this sermon to a close? The law always leaves us in a terrible place, doesn't it? And yet, in a sense, the law leaves us in a wonderful place because it leaves us as broken sinners. And all of us, congregation, I think many of us have treated our parents with a good deal of respect, but no doubt all of us have failings in this regard that we reflect upon with sorrow and with shame, and that's appropriate. And congregation, what a glorious blessing it is that the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We don't have to just preach the law this morning, but we can bring the gospel, and that the cross of Jesus Christ stands there, and we can lay all those sins at the cross of Christ. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, also from sins against the fifth commandment, congregation. And so when that guilt of what you've done to your parents, maybe your parents are gone and you don't even have a chance to rectify it anymore, you can lay that sin at the foot of the cross and find a full and a free forgiveness. Well, congregation, also perhaps when we think about repentance, right, we can think that maybe there are those amongst us who need to make that phone call. Well, you can. Who need to make that visit. Well, you can. And to confess to our parents the disrespect and the dishonor that we may have given to them. I don't know what your situation is, but may God lead you in that way. Well, back to the Rechabites. Where are the Rechabites now, congregation? They're living long in the land that God has given to them because he promised them that when we honor our father and our mother, he will let us live long in the land. And that's what it says. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. And isn't it amazing, congregation, that this morning, looking back on that story, we can say that the Rechabites had no idea the extent to which God would fulfill that promise. Because now they're in the presence of God. They're singing the praises of God to never-ending eternity. That's the promise, congregation, that God also extends to us. Not that he'll let us into heaven because we honored our parents. But being saved and redeemed by Christ, this is one of the lanes on the road that leads to heaven, to honor our parents. And we can get in that lane. And God says, now to such who honor their father and their mother, I will give you long days in the land which I am giving you. And that blessed land, congregation, is that new Jerusalem, the heavenly Canaan, where God's people will live and praise him to a never-ending eternity. And honoring our parents, congregation, is that gold, that silver, that precious stones that Paul talks about. It's not wood, hay, and stubble that'll get burned up. And God will reward those of his people who honor their parents and who make things right with their parents. That's that gold, that silver, and that precious stone that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 shall not miss its reward. And so, congregation, I hope that someday all of us can join the Rechabites in the land that God is giving to us when we honor our parents here upon this earth. And may God press these things upon us and lead us into this blessed obedience to this good commandment. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, having considered the fifth commandment, and having felt, O Lord, how exceeding sharp also this commandment is to wounding us and to making bare, O Lord, the sins that we've committed in our youth and even possibly to the present day, Lord, we confess these sins before Thee. Lord, we're thankful for the many instances we have in our own congregation of young people who are very respectful to us and to parents. We thank Thee for this, O Lord. We know that this too is Thy work. But we long, O Lord, that those who feel guilt in this regard would lay it at the cross of Jesus Christ and would find a full and a free forgiveness there from all these sins. And that they also, O Lord, would be able to make it right with their parents, to once more embrace them in the arms of love and honor and respect. Lord, we do thank Thee for this commandment and all the good that it's worked amongst us and that it's worked in our midst. We pray, O God, that it would continue to have this effect for us as we continue upon the way to a never-ending eternity. Lord, we pray that the glorious promise which Thou hast given us in this command, that we, O Lord, would one day experience it to the glory of Thy name, that we may one day meet even our parents at the gates of glory and rejoice with them in God our Savior and give respect and honor to our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in every respect. Lord, we glorify Thy name this morning and pray that Thou would lead us and continue to guide us from the youngest to the oldest, and that Thy name would receive the glory and the honor. We pray also, O Lord, that You will be in our midst in this evening as we may witness the sacrament of baptism. Bless our brother who preaches. And we pray, O Lord, that in all these things Thy name would receive the glory, and that Thy kingdom would come and Thy will would be done also in this place. Hear our prayer, O God, as we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn now to number 192 in our Psalter. Number 192, O gracious God, forsake me not when I am old and gray, that unto those who follow me I may Thy might display. So we'll sing all the verses of 192.
Thank you.
May the grace of Christ our Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.
Good time.
A nice time.
Beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Sunny. Yeah.
It was sunny, beautiful. Yeah.
And it was sunny here too. So.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about you guys.
Thinking, that'd be so nice. Not too often can you have it all together.
No.
Together.
No.
Yeah.
Everybody was up there.
Yeah. That's so nice.